The Board of Adjustment, Wednesday, January 15th. Roll call, please.
McGill.
Here.
Brecky, absent. Neubauer.
Here.
Winfrey.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
Okay. In front of you, you have the agenda for tonight's meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions? If not, the agenda will stay as represented. Minutes of the previous meeting had some discussions. I believe there's going to be some adjustments to the minutes. Do I hear a motion to that effect?
Yeah, I would move to accept the minutes as written with the deletion of the phrase "in the event of a leak." Is that page 3?
Yes. That would
Marietta.
CUP-90.6. Okay. I have a motion on the minutes.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. Very good. Moving on, we also have in front of us here agenda, minutes, public comment, hearings. I believe we also, I don't see it on this agenda, but don't we have to, we also have to approve the findings of fact from our previous meetings. So,
yeah, number 5.
One I've got is public comment.
But it is on post online. I'm just going to put it on the agenda.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Because I added it after. All right. I posted it and then realized I forgot it.
Okay.
I already have these printed out.
All right.
I
no,
didn't print it.
No
else is the same.
Okay, no problem. Moving on to item 5 on the agenda in front of you is the approval of findings and facts of the previous two meetings, the documents. Variance 519 findings of fact and CUP 10-19 findings of fact. Do I hear any challenges to that? To those?
Nope. Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Do I hear a second? Motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Same sign. All right, going on here is before we move into public comments, just a little bit of an outline on how we conduct the meeting. First thing, we'll open it up to the public for any comments on any item that has come before the board, with the exception of those that are represented here this evening. And we'll take any comments on that, and we'll close it up. Then we will listen to, we'll move on to our hearings on the items we have. So also, if you do want to make comments, first off, I'd ask if you signed into our meeting, and if you want to make comments on it, you would approach the podium and state your name and address for the record. Okay. Moving on. Are there any public comments on anything else, with the exception of what we have here this evening? If not, then we'll move on. The first one in consideration is CUP 1119. Story County Animal Control.
Good evening, Board. So before you tonight, this first CUP is for the Animal Control's temporary livestock control facility. It will be, it's proposed to be located at Animal Control, which is at 975 West Lincoln Highway, just outside of the city limits of Nevada. So the nature of the request is for the construction of a 25 by 30 foot livestock control building. It's already on Story County property. It will provide better control for livestock animals than what the current structure is able to provide. And it will be likely used 3 to 6 times a year. So some history of this. The current existing structure is kind of dilapidated. The fencing is starting to fall down. It's located completely in the floodplain. The new proposal is to bring that whole structure outside of the floodplain. It'll be whole building design, so it'll be a lot more secure than what the current structure is. It's going to be 750 square feet with 175 square feet for the mandatory landscaped area, which will be just to the south of where the proposed building is going to be. And the Board of Supervisors authorized this on 9/24 of 2019. So, vicinity map, animal control is located right there. So the proposed location for the new structure is right here. This is the existing one. Again, it's completely outside of the floodplain while the current one is inside of the floodplain. Site plan of the entire animal control property. Here's the proposed, and there's a blown up image of this, the existing. There also is going to be a trash collection area right here that'll meet all the standards that they're proposing to do at the same time. It's kind of a close-up of this existing structure to be removed, the proposed new structure. The setback is for the side is 15 feet, and it meets our setback requirements from the front and the rear as well. There will be two doors to the structure. An overhead door for loading and unloading livestock will be here, and then a service door would be located here. This is the landscaped area that they're proposing. There also is a proposed light right here that will meet our standards. Some pictures at the site. Just north of this drain is where the landscape area would begin, and then the new structure. Facing east, south, and facing it more from eastern side. Here's the existing structure. As you can see, it's kind of disrepair. This sign will be moved from its current location to the new one so that people know not to just dump their unwanted animals on site. And then, so animal control is the actual building is right here. This is where they're proposing for their new trash collection, which will meet our standards. It has to be screened. We're getting the standards of approval for this. Compatibility, the proposed site is already inside of county-owned property, and all setback requirements as listed in 86.10 will be met. As far as transition goes, it will meet all the setbacks. There are the proposed setbacks for the structure. Part of this building will be buffered by the existing animal control building to the properties to the east, and then trees to the east, west, and south will also offer some buffering from other neighboring properties. As far as traffic is concerned, after construction of this building, the only traffic would be for pickup and drop of animals. On average, 3 to 6 times a year they have to use this, so dropping off and picking up. But the only people being there will be animal control staff. Parking and loading during construction, everything will be stored outside of the right-of-way. As far as signs and lighting, there's that proposed sign that would be moved from the existing to the proposed, and then the one overhead light for just if they're having to unload in the dark, that will meet our requirement of 88.09. As far as environmental protection, the impact to the site is anticipated to be very limited. As far as analysis goes, if the board concludes that all the above development criteria will be met, it must be recommended approval of the application unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that the development will not meet these 5 points. And then the next few slides are the questions that we asked of the applicant. If you want me to go over any of these, I certainly can. As far as the public notice, it was mailed out on December 26th to all properties within a quarter mile. At the time, we have not received any comment about anybody being for or against it. No one's had an opinion on it. Environmental Health did want to remind them not to drive on the laterals during their construction. Here's some points to consider for the approval of this. The applicant is addressing the need for the short-term livestock control building. The existing building is in disrepair and cannot contain livestock effectively. The short-term livestock control building should not be out of character based on the use and zoning of the animal control property. Traffic to the property to drop off animals temporary, maybe 5 to 6 times a year, and will only be animal control staff. An additional landscaped area will be added, meeting the county's requirements to address erosion control. Planning and Zoning Commission at their January 8th meeting recommended approval based on the applicant's submittal and responses to county staff questions of the conditional use permit application as put forth in case CUP 11-19 with a 6-0 vote. Joby Borgen from the Director of Facilities Management and Sue McCaskey, the Director of Animal Control, were present for that meeting. In case they needed to answer any questions. There weren't any questions, and no public raised any questions during that time. With that being said, here are your alternatives for it, with the Planning and Zoning Commission recommending option one, and which is Story County Board of Adjustment recommends approval of the conditional use permit for the Story County Animal Control Livestock Control Structure as put forth in case CUP 11-19 as submitted.
Any questions, staff or board?
Yeah. I have a question. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go to the merits of the proposal. Did I read correctly that the previous building stored alligators at some point? And yes. If so, do we know where the alligators came from?
So that was a member of curiosity. How that was, Sue was here and kind of someone had asked a question about what it's contained before, and she did say that alligators have been contained at some point by animal control. I don't know if it was necessarily in that structure or not. As far as where the alligator came from, she also didn't allude to that, but said that they try to get those kinds of animals quickly to the zoos because it's kind of okay. Outside of their wheelhouse.
A little bit.
But it's good to know that they can and have had to deal with that situation, and everyone seemed to be okay afterwards. Okay. So,
yeah. If we have an alligator, we need a place to put it, I guess.
Exactly. Anyone here in the public that would speak to this? If not, any more questions? We'll close in debate. Questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to accept CUP 11-19, option one, as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Roll call vote.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, moving on to CUP 1219, Ballard Golf and Country Club. Marcus.
Let's see if I get this set up. Okay, so before you, I've made one PowerPoint for the two. We'll still do two motions separately. So just so you're aware.
So we're considering both motions separately, but you've got one PowerPoint.
Yeah, I know. Normally we break it up, but since it's for the same thing, we're going to just keep on going. All right. So just kind of a little history on what happened. Ballard Golf and Country Club came to apply for a permit to build a new maintenance shop. At the time, we then looked for a conditional use permit, found out that there wasn't one. When the golf course was built and pulled permits in 1974, it was permitted use, so they were able to do it. In June 30th of 1977, golf courses were taken out of the permitted uses in the A1 and moved to a conditional use need. So at that time, we informed them that in order to approve the permit, we needed them to be in conformity with the regulations, which means applying for the conditional use permit. So that kind of stemmed, so all of this stemmed from that. So the proposal is for a 40 by 40 maintenance shop that would would be the new heated shop, as well as a 12 by 12 office area for to house the irrigation computer for the golf course, potentially a bathroom, and also equipment storage. The other part of this is that in 1974, they applied for permits for the golf course itself to build the dam for the pond, and then for the clubhouse. The other structures did not get permits for them, and because of that, the two southern shop buildings are too close for their setbacks, what would require now. Had they gotten the permits back then, they would have met the setbacks, which were 10 feet at that time. So there's also a variance tied to this southern two buildings.
For the south property.
So representatives from Ballard Golf Course are here tonight. It is located at 30608 U.S. Highway 69, Huxley, Iowa. It's just north outside of the city limits there. So as far as the CUP, this is to bring the non-conforming use to a permitted use under the conditional use process, and it is included in that is the construction of a new 40 by 40 maintenance structure. So this is the golf course just outside the city limits of Huxley. The proposed site for this new 40 by 40 structure is on the southwest corner of the parcel. It would be located right here. This area right now is where they grow some of their sod. They need to replace it. That will be taken out of use. And it'll fall right in line here, come out just a little bit. There is a small section of floodplain on the northwest corner of the parcel. There's no improvements there, and there's no planned improvements. There's a site plan that they have provided. It's the proposed building, the proposed green space to account for the 20% landscape requirement that we have from impervious services, and then the parking area for the staff that will report here. They're going to lay new gravel to kind of delineate that more. Here's the existing sign. So one other addition to all of this is this sign had applied, they'd applied for a variance for this sign to have it lit in 2006. However, at that time, and still currently, that's not permitted, and the variance was denied. They have taken the steps to already disconnect these lights and discontinue that use as of already. So here's the new proposed site. It's already been graded. Here are the existing maintenance shops, so it'll be just to the north here. This tree line of mature trees also offers a buffer to the parcels to the south. And part of this request will get all of their extra equipment into buildings. Here's a clubhouse that does have a permit for it. Here's the rear side of the north side of that clubhouse. The golf cart sheds. These just two buildings didn't have permits, and part of all of this is that they'll apply for permits for these buildings as well, except for the addition on this one actually does have a permit for it. There are three propane tanks located on site, two of which have Ballards protecting them. So these standards of approval are for the conditional use permit. After this, we'll ask for the motions, and then we'll go into the variance request. As far as compatibility, the proposed site, and this also is two pieces here, sorry. One is for the actual use of that golf course, and then for the additional building that they want to build. So there's two steps on each of these. The proposed site is the existing golf course. The CUP will bring the existing use out of nonconformity. The proposed structure matches the existing use, and the proposed and existing maintenance structures will match in their appearance. As far as transition goes, the golf course is buffered by mature trees on the northeast and some of the south. And part of the south eastern portion of the golf course is not buffered with houses looking onto the golf course. Part of the proposed structure will be buffered by the existing buildings, and the proposed structure will meet setback requirements. Here's a list of all the structures along with the proposed on the parcel. All of them meet setbacks except for these two, which are part of the variance request that we'll talk about in a minute. As far as traffic goes, traffic will continue as it has been along U.S. Highway 69. The 2015 Iowa DOT traffic counts for Highway 69 was 6,800 average daily traffic there. And the proposed use of the proposed structure will not increase traffic to the site. This is just storing of equipment that they have there, maintenance on their equipment. As far as parking and loading goes, there's a total of 74 parking spaces for people using the golf course, two of which are ADA accessible. And then new gravel will be laid at the existing maintenance shop area parking, and there will be four parking spaces identified there, all of which meet our standards for parking. As far as signs and lighting go, the existing lighting on the subject property appears to meet the county standards except for that sign lighting, which has already been dealt with. And there's a proposed light over the proposed structure's overhead door, and that lighting will meet 88.09. As far as environmental protection goes, the impact to the site is anticipated to be limited. The golf course is putting in a proposed landscape area of approximately 1,300 square feet to meet the county's requirement of 20% landscaped area for the impervious surface, and this landscape requirement exceeds our 20% requirement. So as this for the analysis, if the board concludes that all of the above development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that the development will not meet one of these points. Especially looking at this, and we're just bringing this existing use into conformity, it definitely kind of especially meets that first one of this has been around longer than almost any of the development in the area. So it's not really going to negatively affect the health, safety, and general welfare of people in the area. If you have questions, again, if you'd like to go through any of these or if you have questions about them, I can provide some more information. So environmental health did have a comment that the proposed building will not impact the existing septic system currently serving the clubhouse. However, if they were to put in the bathroom in there, they would need to submit an application for a septic permit to environmental health. The existing septic system was installed in 1974, and they recommend pumping frequency as a minimum of every 5 years. And the applicant can contact environmental health for the system diagram or general information. Public notices were mailed within a quarter mile, December 26th. No comments were received. That was 195 letters that went out for this. So that was a pretty big list, and we didn't get any feedback from anyone. So as far as points to consider, the applicant addressed the need for the new structure. The applicant already has discontinued the business sign lighting, and the golf course has been the primary use for 45 years. Most developments surrounding the golf course came after the golf course and all the associated structures were constructed. This will bring a property out of nonconformity. So it is being recommended from the Planning and Zoning Commission with conditions. The conditions are the applicant shall obtain zoning permits for all existing structures, excluding the clubhouse, the dam, and the golf course itself within 30 days of the Board of Adjustment action. Support of the conditional use permit includes the Board of Adjustment taking action on the submitted variance, which we'll look at in a minute, for the existing structures located in the southwest area of the property, and the direct illumination of the business sign must be discontinued. So they did recommend approval based on those conditions with a 6-0 vote. Ballard Golf and Country Club representatives were in attendance, and there was no public in attendance regarding this. That being said, Planning and Zoning Commission is recommending option two, which is that Story County Board of Adjustment recommends approval of the conditional use permit for the Ballard Golf and Country Club related associated structures and the proposed new maintenance structure as put forth in case CUP 12-19 with conditions. So if you guys have any questions now.
Okay, so just so I understand the request here, we're granting a conditional use permit for the existing structures that have gone up in the past, but were prior to really when our zoning laws went into effect, correct? Is that the bottom line, really?
Right. We issued a zoning permit in 74 for the clubhouse,
right,
for the course, and for the improvements that were made to the pond and the dam.
And it was all part of the A1 district at that time,
right,
which was
from our change.
Yes.
Taking that out, making that not a permitted use but a conditional use in 77.
Okay.
That kind of prompts this need.
So this basically brings it, by granting the conditional use permit, that brings it into conformity.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
But this and the new structure?
Right. So we couldn't issue that new structure a permit without it having the conditional use permit because it doesn't meet what we needed at the time.
So that and the structure are all part of this motion?
Right. Yes. Okay. And then the variance we'll do after.
Okay.
Yes.
Any follow-up? Fellows from Ballard Golf and Country. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Anything you wish to add?
I explained it pretty well. Just tell
okay.
me stuff.
All right. Board, any questions you may have? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Again, it's the use, the associated structures,
correct,
and the proposed.
Yep.
Motion to accept option two on CUP 1219. That is approval with the recommended conditions.
Motion, do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Okay.
All right, so now we're going to move into the variance portion of this. So this variance request is for side setback. The accessory structures will be 24 feet from the southern property line, and they've been in the current location since 1975. This just kind of goes over that history again. So the structures that we're talking about are those two existing maintenance facility buildings right there. So the current setbacks are, it's a little bit easier to see, 24 feet is the existing parcel's property line. They also own this 15-foot strip to the south of their parcel. That if they were to adjoin, that would make then their distance 39 feet. So when they were able to find the property pins for that closest parcel line, and that was the eastern one, and the western one was right there. They ran a stringer along there, then they measured off, and that's what gave us that 24 feet. So going to the standards of approval for here, the legal principles, all of these must be satisfied in order for the Board of Adjustment to grant a variance. So we're going to go into those. Finding of a necessary hardship that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for the purpose allowed in that zone. So both these accessory structures have been in their current location since 1975 and have been used as the golf course maintenance building since that time. The golf course is an established use that has operated on the property for 45 years. The golf course has operated as a permitted use, a legal non-conforming use, and the applicant is currently requesting that CP that you guys just approved. So the existing accessory structures were built as the maintenance shops for the golf course and country club. Without these structures, the golf course would not function as it currently does. These buildings are associated with that primary use. Supply of the owner is due to the unique circumstance and not to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself. So again, these buildings have been there since 1975. Had the golf course applied for zoning permits at the time that they were doing all of the construction, it would have met the side setback of 10 feet. In June of 1977, we removed the golf courses from the list of permitted uses in the A1 district. These golf courses then became a conditional use, and that now falls underneath other permitted uses, which have a 50-foot required setback in the A1 district. The use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. Again, its use has been finished since 1975. It's not going to affect the essential character of the locality. If anything, it is the essential character of the locality. granting the variance will not be contrary to public interest. This really hits that again, that it's not going to be contrary to the fact that it's been there since before the public was really in the area there, and it is essential to that location. And all the accessory structures have a setback of at least 112 feet from the public right-of-way. And then the spirit and the intent of the CTC and Story County Land Development Regulations are protected. This property is located in the A1 district. The property is designated natural area to include parks. The primary land use of the subject parcel is the golf course and country club, which has been here since 1974. The subject property includes the golf course, clubhouse, and 5 other accessory structures with no area in agricultural production. And when we were going through this, it all kind of got aggregated together, so there's not as many questions because a lot of it was answered through the CUP, but if you have any questions, we can answer those for you. And as far as points to consider for the variance, the accessory structures have been here since 1975. Having the equipment to maintain that golf course is essential to the operation. Had the zoning permits been applied, they would have met the setbacks of 10 feet. The granting of the variance is not contrary to the public interest. The golf course is the established use and is essential to the character of the locality. And the property owner also owns that 15-foot wide parcel to the south, which, if that's taken into account, it's really a variance request of 11 feet if they were to adjoin those two, which they have that option to do. That being said, planning and development staff are recommending approval of the variance request application as put forth in case VAR 06-19 with the following conditions: that permits for the two accessory structures must be obtained within 30 days of the Board of Adjustment action, and that the business sign lighting must be discontinued. That being said, there are your alternatives. Again, with planning staff recommending option 2, that Board of Adjustment approves the variance request with the conditions as put forth in VAR 06-19 for a variance to allow the proposed accessory structures to have a side setback of 24 feet in the A1 district. Any questions?
In 1975, the golf courses were removed from A1 zoning. As
1977.
77.
Yes.
And they changed the setback from 10 to 50 feet. Is that also true?
That's the current standard.
That's the current. So once it changed, then it doesn't matter. What happened between 77 and now doesn't, whatever the setbacks could have been.
They were legit. They were within the setbacks.
They were within the setbacks. Had they applied for the permits, it would have just been the conditional use permit tonight, not.
Okay. We think it's important
to note that. That was right. Technically, they were within where they were supposed to be at the time.
The A1 setback in 1975 was 10 feet.
For this use,
yeah.
Okay.
Why were golf courses removed?
I think it was the time period when certain uses were kind of changed from a primary principal permitted to like a conditional use standard, so that it gave staff an opportunity to fully consider them and take them through an open public process. And like for our instance, we require the Planning and Zoning Commission to do a review before it actually goes to the Board of Adjustment. So things that have impact to a site, potential impact to a neighborhood, require this vetting process to look at traffic, noise impacts, the hours of operation. It was pretty common during that time period to pull those kinds of uses and make them a conditional potential.
Any comments, fellas?
No.
Okay. Close. Any further questions? The staff? Not. We'll close the public portion, and I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to accept option two on variance 619, approval with suggested conditions.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Who seconded it?
Okay.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
There you go. All right. Looking at, here's your minutes. Any other business here for the board?
Yes, I just wanted to update the board of adjustment. The board deferred action on the Martin Marietta condition use permit for the slurry drops and their safety trailer. They're going to be back at the February meeting, so plan on that. We're going to see a conditional use permit for Saints Peter and Paul Church. They're close to Story City on 500th Avenue. They're going to add a parking spot, so that requires a site change through the conditional use permit process. Citizens Serve, the Board of Supervisors approved funding for a new permitting and development case application submittal program for our department, which all of the departments at the county are going to be using for the reviews. Right now we have a process that involves us posting applications, drawings on the intranet, and then we ask them to post their comments, and so we have to take those comments and put them into our PowerPoint presentations. Citizen Serve is going to, it's going to be a system that will allow the general public, contractors, builders to, from the comfort of their home or their office, submit all this information into this program so that it can be reviewed by staff. They'll be able to track the process from the submittal to the formal action. And we've had probably four meetings with a consultant, and are very excited about, you know, working through our processes and ultimately getting this out there for the general public to use. So we'll have probably an outreach process to help the general public understand how to use it. There's going to be a learning curve, just like with any new program. The land evaluation site assessment, this is something that was on our work program. We, through property research, try to determine what the impact is of a proposed division for a future use change. And we use our GIS system to try to determine, you know, what the ultimate number value is. And things that come back after we do our analysis with a high land evaluation site assessment score, you know, those under our ordinance cannot be, you know, approved for like a rezoning change. Some of the uses that could be potential conditional use permits cannot be reviewed and approved if they have a high land evaluation site assessment, because the goal of that is to try to protect our rich farm ground. So part of this process, the review that we did was to improve our transparency. So we've got a lot of information that we're going to be posting, like our application, the questions that we actually address when we're doing our review, more analysis of what those questions are, you know, how we get to the questions or responses that we actually come up with. And, you know, we're working through the nuances of that. And the Board of Supervisors just asked us to get all this information out there so that there's no mystery in, you know, how we do our reviews. There's only like six counties that have a land evaluation site assessment process. And again, the goal is to try to protect and, you know, keep from change those highly productive areas that are rich for farming. So that's what it's all about. That's basically it as far as the announcements. I just want to thank Kelly this month for her interest for serving on the Board of Adjustment, and last month it was Wendy. So thank you both for joining. Now we have a full Board of Adjustment, and Randy would be here, but he was
ill.
He told us that he was ill. So
he's in the hospital.
That's what we heard.
Email said. So I didn't. Was trying to figure out what was wrong.
Yeah, we don't know the details other than he said he was in the hospital. So, Wendy, would you mind just kind of maybe for the benefit of the rest of the board, just share with us your background and why you're interested in board?
Me,
Kelly. I'm sorry. Wendy, that was last month. This month it's Kelly. Sorry.
Good to know that you're just a month ahead of me. my name is Kelly Winfrey, and I work at the Carrie Chapman Catt Center for Women in Politics at Iowa State, and I do a lot of training for getting women to be more involved in public service, and including studying gender balance laws in the state and boards and commissions. So I'm glad that we are gender balanced on this board. I wanted a chance to do what I'm encouraging other people to do and also learn more about the county. I've lived here 6 years. I like my job at Iowa State. I don't plan to go anywhere, so kind of have more vested interest in kind of seeing how things work and having a voice. So thanks for having me.
And would the rest of you mind sharing a little bit about your background?
Sure.
And why you're interested?
I'm also at Iowa State, kind of around the corner from you at Ross Hall. I'm a historian, and my interests are in part legal history, so I'm fascinated by land usage. And I too was hitting this kind of moment where I wanted to do more in terms of public service. Linda was like, I'm delighted to be here, and it's really fun to see this all in action.
Steve McGill, I'm president of State Bank and Trust here in Nevada. Been in that position probably about 18 years, and been in the county a little over 20. Background primarily agriculture, that sort of thing. My wife teaches at Iowa State, and so does my daughter. She's a research scientist. So we've got all these Iowa State connections, but I wasn't in the teaching realm. My son also teaches. I'm surrounded by teachers.
You must be taught a lot.
I've been on the board. This is my second term, probably 7 years. Learned a lot, and just getting involved in the county.
Matt Neubauer. I went to Iowa State, but that's my only connection. But I live just north of Ames on an acreage. I work down in Des Moines. I help companies figure out if they can structure a sale of their company to their employees through a retirement plan. So it's a lot of spreadsheet action. And this is just something that actually I saw in a newspaper. They were looking for people to do it, and I said, it seems interesting. Mm-hmm. And I've been here about a year and a half or something, and so far it has been most of the time. They keep warning me, if there's a lot of cars in the parking lot, consider turning around.
I'm late.
Yeah. Oh, and I should say, I'm also in the country. I'm just south of here in rural Nevada Township.
And I'm in Ames.
Yeah.
And I'm south of here also. I live down by the golf course here, south of Nevada.
As Matthew mentioned, we've had this room jam-packed full of people. It just really kind of depends on what the issue is and the interest of that issue to the people who...
I like county sheds and stuff.
I was reading through it. I was like, this seems like a pretty easy first meeting. It doesn't look very controversial. So,
Steve, you always talk about your first meeting.
Sure. The very first meeting I had was on a hearing on extending the hours of the sheriff's shooting range. And I figured... didn't think it would be too much of an issue. I walked in and the room was packed. We've had that issue. We've had Martin Marietta's always been a hot issue. A lot of interest. we've had where you really get into it is when you have structures that have been there forever and now they're asked to change. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that gets to be a little warm occasionally. Mm-hmm. But you're right. When you walk in the room, look around the corner before you come in.
Yeah.
I'm still worrying about the alligators,
I'll talk to Sue about that and get some more information.
She said large snakes too. They come across some really exotic
and,
I was on another board, I went out there and took a tour, and they had an area at that time that was taped off with yellow caution tape, and there were basically feral cats. And they had one in there that the Persian flat face, and they had a safety zone around this animal. And he's looking like, here, man, that's a big deal. She says, you get closer, you let him out, and he says he's just dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and if they get it out of the floodplain, then the geese will.
Yeah, the alligator, did somebody have a pet that you let out? Or?
Well, I was talking about
it grew up.
I think it's more like those situations where you get those really exotic, because they're not, I don't think they're a normal thing around here.
No.
Something like that, where you get this animal, you're like, oh, this is really cool, and then it's big enough to eat, and you're like, I don't want this in my house anymore.
Maybe that wasn't a great idea.
A friend of mine told me that about 15 years ago, Iowa State Extension tried raising alligators. Has anyone heard this story?
No.
The idea was that you would have an alligator nursery in conjunction with a hog confinement. And so you would take what are called swine mortalities.
Feed
them to the alligators.
Recycle
them? Right, and then you could sell the eggs.
Okay.
So Iowa State studied that. Do you pity the poor work study student who had to weigh the dead piglets?
Yeah.
And weigh the alligator.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they decided that this really wasn't the future of raising hogs. And
it's all about trial and error, I guess, right?
So I've been wondering, that's why I was kind of asking, where did the alligator come from? Was this an Iowa State alligator?
Did one get away?
She said, horses running.
Horses.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I meant cattle getting loose or something like that.
And that just happened in the last 6 months. Two cows were running around in Ames.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw something on Ames People about that.
Yeah.
It looked like they only had capacity for one animal. I mean, really, in their current.
So, one cow. And,
right.
But she said, when she was here, if it's a pig and some piglet, things like that, then it's a little bit different. But it can only accommodate. Horse is going to take up that whole thing, So, and she said anything beyond that 3 mark, then they have to consider other options.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to, you don't need a full time facility for something like that.
It doesn't happen there very often.
Right,
Where do they take them? I'm curious. If that space were full and there was another animal, do they?
I think they have
ARL.
People that they would work with, the county.
They probably have people that they would work with, I would imagine. That,
right.
Could take it whole,
Or someone that has a lot of cattle already and they you have to be careful for keeping them in quarantine. But if they have the area to be able to sustain it for a brief period of time, something like that.
ARL, just in Ankeny, has a really large facility now for abandoned horses.
Yeah, so maybe that's what.
Didn't Ames in their facility, haven't they expanded that facility over the past in the past 24 months? I was thinking that they had, but I might be wrong.
I think so, but then they had a lot of there was a raid on someone that had a lot of exotic animals.
Yeah. I remember reading about that.
And they're kind of full up there for a while again, so.
Okay, anything else before the board? I'll entertain adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.